You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, and today, doing a little bit something different. I was on the Clutch Talk podcast. It was a good time, and we talked opening night, a game preview of the Los Angeles Lakers playing your Golden State Warriors. So I'm going to drop that right here and definitely give those dudes a listen. They're good guys, and they're definitely knowledgeable, energetic hoops fans in general. So again, Clutch Talk Podcasts, look them up on Twitter, Clutch Talk Pod. All right, here we go. Enjoy.
I want to be the best. I want to be the best. Simple as playing. That's why I play the game. To be the best, you have to win. And that's what drives me.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Clutch Talk podcast / YouTube / We Do It All. As always, I am your host, John. Very happy to be here. My boy Jay Hill's over there in the six. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing great, man. Basketball season here. Warrior basketball is back. NBA basketball is back. And we got a great guest on to talk about it. So my guy Patrick from the Oakland Warriors podcast. Want to introduce yourself, Patrick?
Yeah, man. I'm Patrick. I'm the host of the Oakland Warriors podcast, a podcast about all things Golden State Warriors. Been a fan since the 80s. That's right. Thick and thin, and looking forward to seeing how this season goes. I think it's going to be one of the most interesting seasons in Warriors history, to be honest.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a very interesting season for the Warriors, man. A lot hanging on the line, man. But yeah, so today, guys, like how Jake Hill said, NBA season is here upon us. So what we're going to do just today, we're just going to talk about the opening night game, which is the Lakers versus the Warriors. So very excited about that. Guys, I really don't have no structure how you want to do this. Like Patrick and Jake Hill, if y'all want to like bounce around, bounce off ideas, let's do it. I got some questions here, so like we could go off that, start it. But let's start like this. Let's give our predictions and then let's talk about why. So Jay, how are you feeling about this game tomorrow with the Lakers and Warriors? Who are you feeling comes out with a dub?
You know, it's interesting. It's very interesting because number one, it was hard to really tell what the Lakers' chemistry was like. Obviously, they're 0-6. I don't put too much weight into the preseason, but I know the two times they did play the Warriors, the latter being when they had Westbrook 360, as they call it, Westbrook, AD, and LeBron all together. They really looked like they lacked that continuity on the court. And obviously, it was one of the first times that they've all played together, but I'm kind of hesitant. And I have to see first what they can do, all three of them together in a regular season action game. But on the Warriors side of things, man, I loved how they're looking in preseason, the way the ball was moving, the way that Otto Porter and Nemanja Bjelica just fit right into the system. The amount of threes And the amount of fun, obviously the emergence of Jordan Poole is great. And if he can continue that into the regular season, I think that can do just wonders for this Warriors. His confidence and having that, you know, that Robin to Batman, you know, Steph, he's going to do what he does, but to have that second option. But I'm feeling optimistic, not just a homer take, but I think the Warriors can really take advantage of the Lakers, you know, feeling things out, and they have more guys on their side and a lot of returning pieces, where the Lakers have a lot of new faces and spaces that they have to, you know, figure out. So that's why I'm going with the Warriors in this one tomorrow, for a lot of reasons. But like I mentioned, those mainly concern me. Just figuring things out is going to be something that I'm going to watch.
Okay. And what about you, Patrick? What are some things that you're seeing here for this game coming up, and what's your predictions for the game tomorrow?
I hear what you're saying, and I actually think that the Warriors will eke this one out, largely because, I mean, the preseason is just the preseason, like we all know, right? And so when the Warriors, the thing is about the Warriors, they added a lot of just like complimentary dudes who like know the roles. And so they have a lot of new guys too, just like the Lakers, right? But they seem to click a little bit more because Bielitsa, he knows what he has to do. Otto Porter Jr. doesn't try to do too much. Right now, it seems like the Lakers are trying to fit all these pieces and it hasn't looked good. But I think the Lakers could win if AD is the key to this season for them, obviously. And, you know, beyond like the chemistry issues and Russ, whatever, if AD goes down, the ship goes down for the Lakers. But I think that if he goes for like 30, 35, if he just dominates the Warriors in the paint, because the Warriors are, you know, that's one of my big concerns is their interior defense and their rebounding. So if he just shows up and does what he does, then I think the Lakers could definitely take this first game.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to side with Jay Hill on this one, man, because I think, you know, I'm a Lakers fan and I've seen the Lakers time and time and time again drop the first game in that bubble series. Every single play in that bubble playoff, every single series, the Lakers dropped the first game. That's what the Lakers are notoriously known for doing, man, dropping these first games. And also, like how Jake Hill said, man, like I put little to almost no weight on the preseason. But what I do put weight on is continuity, playing together. And it didn't look like that. They were ready. They were playing together. But that's not something that concerns me yet. I mean, it's the beginning of the season. LeBron and Russell Westbrook came out and said, we're not really worried. We have a whole year to figure this out. We don't have to have everything figured out right now. And as a fan, you can't realistically expect them for LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook, two powerful players like that, to have it figured out before the first game of the season, man. It's very hard to be able to expect that. So my prediction is that I think that the Lakers are going to take an L on this one, man. But I want to talk to you guys about the starting lineups. So, Patrick, I'm going to go to you first on this one. What do you think, in your opinion, would be the best starting lineup that you'd want to see the Warriors go out there with? And then if you know a little bit about the Lakers, feel free to talk about that. But I know you're a Warriors specialty.
Yeah, I mean, I think the lineup the Warriors have been rolling out in preseason is pretty solid. I mean, it's been known that Kevon Looney is going to be their starting center. Even if Wiseman were healthy, then, you know, they were going to go with a guy towards the end of last season that put them on the run, got them into the play-in round. And I think Jordan Poole, you know, like there was some talk that if they had kept Avery Bradley, maybe they would have started him and kept Poole coming off the bench as that sixth man. But, you know, like all last season, they didn't have anybody that could score on their own. You know, like Wiggins, for all his talents, we all know that that's not who that dude is. So when you got Steph out there and he's just dancing, he's getting boxed in one, you know, you just want somebody else. And Jordan Poole, to me, is like found money, because everybody saw him end of last year and it was like, oh wow, yeah, he's actually turned out to be pretty decent, but he's actually taken even a bigger leap. And I think that this kind of is a bit of a game changer, no matter where people have predicted the Warriors. I think Jordan Poole could actually bump them up maybe a spot in the Western Conference, just because, you know, it's going to be, because it's always like a couple games between like, you know, four or five, whatever. And Jordan Poole, he could be that difference maker for sure, especially since the dude is hella young, hella cheap. You know what I mean? Man. Like, I didn't want Bradley Beal before. I definitely don't want him now.
When you have an emerging star like Jay Poole, man, it's hard to want to give that away, man. But Jay Hill, let me highlight at you. What's the starting lineup that you would like to see out there? Or do you disagree? Do you agree with Patrick that you want to roll out the starting lineup that you see?
No, right there with Patrick. The lineup they've been rolling out in the preseason is the lineup they're going to be going with. Yeah, I agree with you, Patrick, as well. They could have had – I would have loved seeing Jordan Poole with that second unit coming on as that sixth man. But I think just having that yin and yang of if Steph's getting triple, quadruple teamed, having that second option, that playmaker, that creator. And bold prediction here, and John knows last night I got Steph with my second pick in the fantasy draft, as well as I went up maybe – you could say 10 picks to get Jordan Poole as well. I had to have that backcourt on my team, but I mean, I'm predicting the over on 20 points per game from Jordan Poole. That's how I'm feeling. Optimistically, maybe you could call it that, but just the confidence and the way he's playing and flowing in that offense is something I have to see continuing going into the regular season. Because that in his third year, that's something that you don't see a lot. And he's got the total confidence of Steve Kerr as well. And having a coach on your side like that as a player, it's what you dream of. So I see that continuing on. And I'm just the same starting lineup for the Warriors as Patrick.
Okay. All right, for sure. And then as far as me on the I'll just keep going with the Warriors. I think that you guys should switch it up a bit. I think that you guys should continue to, of course, run Curry at the one, like how you guys said, run Poole at the two, get that little yin and yang going on. But here's where I have a switch. I think that you guys actually should start Otto Porter Jr. over Wiggins. Now, here's why. The reason why I think that is because let's look at the Warriors bench. It's really not too great. After the starters, especially with Wiseman being out, Andre Iguodala being more of a coach than a player this year, with Klay, you know, we know Klay's not coming back until later, that I would really, really want to see a lead guy, a guy that could lead the pack on his own. And I really think that that could be Wiggins, man. Because, I mean, if you got Wiggins, Poole, and Curry out there, I mean, Curry gonna get the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not gonna give the ball to Andrew Wiggins to take it away from Stephen Curry. Now, Otto Porter, he could feed Curry, he could find Curry, and I just really want to see someone lead that second unit. But Patrick, what's up? Talk to me. You don't think that you want Wiggins off the bench?
Nah, because they did that last year. They tried him out as like the main guy or scorer in the second unit. And it didn't go well. Like, I remember doing episodes after games and saying like, wow, he just looks like some dude out there. He looks like he's just a role player when he's supposed to be leading this offense. He never really saw Maple Jordan last season. For some reason, for all this athleticism, the dude just goes he just lays it up a lot. And that's fine if he gets the deuce, but like, a lot of times it's like, where's the authority? Where's the force? You know what I mean? He dunked in a preseason game, and I think it was after he got vaxxed. And so I was like, oh, he must be pissed. So, and, you know, to be honest, like Steve Kerr's rotations, he always keeps like a scorer in that second unit from the starting lineup. It used to be Klay. And now it's going to be Jordan Poole, and it might also be Wiggins too. So there's always going to be somebody there, I think, you know. And I think Otto Porter Jr., like, man, I just, as good as he looked, you know, the ball hits his hands and it goes in the bus, but in the bucket. But like his injury history, man, like I don't know how many minutes you want to give him, and I don't know if you want him, like, if he played in the starting lineup against the Lakers, he'd be guarding LeBron. I don't want him to break. You know what I mean? I do have some concerns about that. And Wiggins, you know, he always plays a little bit better against LeBron because he got traded, you know?
Yeah, that classic LeBron trade, man.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So and then as far as the Lakers, what I think, in my opinion, will be the best lineup that the Lakers roll out there would be Russ at the one, Malik Monk at the two, Wayne Ellington at the three, LeBron at the four, and AD at the five. That's not the current lineup that they have on their depth chart. They currently have Westbrook at the one, Wayne Ellington at the two, Kent Bazemore at the three, LeBron at the four, AD at the five. But I really want to see Malik Monk in there. I really like Malik Monk when he was on the Hornets, and especially because him next to Russ will be a big help, man. But I have a question for both of you two, because today, you know, I was on my computer looking up some Warriors numbers, some Lakers numbers, and then I get a notification that the Warriors waived Avery Bradley. Patrick, you talked about that a bit. What's up? Like, I thought that was a great pickup for you guys, man. I was like, he is the replacement of Clay. Like, he helps Curry on defense, right? Like, we know Curry isn't a great defender. So when there's a great defender he has to guard, Clay stepped up. Clay always guarded him. And I thought Avery Bradley was going to step into that position. But talk to me how you guys feel about Avery Bradley and that wave.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when they picked up Avery Bradley, well, I'm a Gary Payton II fan, so I was, like, pulling for him after the summer. And, you know, he's a 28-year-old journeyman. His offense has never been good. He's 6'2", not a point guard. So, like, his spot is just going to be a defensive ace, and that's what they need. So when they picked up Avery Bradley, I was like, okay, well, you know what? Whoever competes and wins, I'm cool with that, you know? And then it's like, oh, they kept nobody, you know, because I guess they wanted to save some money on the fringes, and it's not my money. So I was like, spend that money, you know, to do that 15th roster spot. Bradley didn't look good during the preseason. He kept missing his shots. He wasn't a good 3-point shooter. I mean, it's crazy to me how that IT AB backcourt, man, is just like disintegrated, you know. But with Bradley, it's like he just didn't look great. And I figured, like, hey, the vets, Steph, Draymond, they had quotes where they seemed to have wanted him on the team. And I'm like, make those dudes happy, because you just need a dude who will be that point of attack guard. I mean, like, perimeter defense is another place where I worry a lot about the Warriors. They got a lot of dudes, but a lot of them are just not defensive aces. Iguodala is like 38 years old, 37. You know, even a few years ago, you could probably do it a little bit, but not now. So who are you going to throw out against, I don't know, LaMelo Ball, Trae Young, De'Aaron Fox, Dame Lillard, you know? And right now they don't have anyone. I think the thought, it seems like in the ether, is that they're going to try to bring back Gary Payton II somehow, because the contracts, like, if they had kept him, he would have been guaranteed. And if they cut him and then sign him again, it's not guaranteed. So it's just money on the fringes, and it's a bit of a gamble, in my opinion. But Avery Bradley, like, he had his chance. And I think, like, I would have been okay with him, because he's a vet, right? He's a vet. He knows how to play. Like, he could get in there in the 16 games in the playoffs you need to win and help out. So I just think they needed somebody, and they didn't go with anybody. So hopefully Moses Moody gets better foot speed and uses his 6'11 wingspan to play some defense once he gets in there.
Yeah, man. We got a lot riding on Moses Moody, man. But Jay, what about you, Jay? Are you in agreement with Pat about how you feel about Avery Bradley, or what's up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with him. You got to make what Steph and Dre want. You got to make them happy. Avery Bradley's, despite struggling in the preseason, he had a better showing against the Lakers. You know, he was playing with some desperate, honestly, got a steal, you know, pickpocketed. I believe Malik Monk Austin Reeves, and lobbed it to Jordan Bell for that dunk. That was a highlight play. But I mean, you could tell he was locked in and he was ready to earn that spot. And unfortunately, he didn't get that last look against Portland. So I guess they had already made up their mind. Gary Payton was struggling with injuries and was, you know, wasn't able to suit up either. But I feel like one of the two, I was more on the leaning towards GP the second, like you, Patrick, just because he has that history with the Warriors. And we saw those flashes, especially in the Lakers game. He played very well as well, you know, having those dunks, locked in defensively and a spark plug off the bench. The shooting deficiencies is a worry with GP the second. Avery Bradley's supposed to be a shooter, but he struggled as well in the preseason. But I feel like if you can keep a guy like Avery Bradley, you keep him, especially with your stars, you know, seconding that notion. But I guess if you're going to save the money for the for later in the season and get the right guy is what they got to do now if they're going to save that money. And they got to be aggressive towards – if we're contending – later on towards the deadline, they got to be aggressive if they're going to save that money. But if they're not, then, you know, keep it and do something with it.
Man, I agree, Jay. Like, honestly, unless you're going to let Avery Bradley walk, if you're going to let a player, like how Pat said, that really fits what you need right now walk, you got to make sure you got a plan and be very, very aggressive. So, man, I mean, as a Lakers fan, I'll take it. Thanks, guys, because the Lakers signed him, so I'll take it. I'll take him again.
But anyway, they signed him?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he signed him to the Lakers. Yeah.
Oh, man.
He has a free agent, so I'll take it.
Should have taken that nap.
NFL fans, hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available yet in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code TBPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's keep moving forward, guys, and let's talk about the keys of the game. I'll go ahead and kick it off here. I'll talk about the Lakers, man. And the number one thing that I know the Lakers need to do, man, is really dominate the glass, man. You know, you were talking earlier, Pat, about how you're talking about how the Warriors don't really have like any solid, reliable big. Kevon Looney is cool, but he's not going to touch it. You know, he's not going to be touching the AD. He's not going to be touching the other bigs of the league, right? And I think that the Lakers really have a chance to be able to dominate the glass, get a lot of easy second chance points. We know how LeBron and AD love to get the rebound and throw it on a fast break. Easy transition bucket, man. That'll be huge. And I also think that the Lakers need to take advantage of that unreliable front court, man. I mean, I like Draymond Green. He's great, but Draymond Green – I don't know if Draymond Green is going to be able to do it all on his own. Draymond Green versus a AD, I'll take it. Now you got a Kevon Looney versus an AD, or, you know, even if you look at the Lakers, other players, you know, the role players in Dwight and DeAndre Jordan, and honestly, even LeBron, I think a lot of those guys would be a lot for Kevon Looney, not for Draymond. I'm not throwing any disrespect on his name. I know that's a defensive player of the year, but I do worry about that, man. So I think the Lakers need to take advantage of that, hit the offensive glass and get a lot of easy buckets. And the number two thing, guys, they cannot play ISO ball, man. Now we got Russell Westbrook on the team. We cannot run to this. I don't know if you guys remember 2 years ago when the Lakers played the Rockets in the bubble and the Lakers were just letting Russell Westbrook pull up and shoot. He's playing this little ISO ball. And it scares me. It scares me because I don't want to see it. I really don't want to see it on the Lakers, man. So that's definitely a key to the game, man. But Jay, you want to start kicking off your key to the game for the Warriors?
Yeah. Well, the first being no live ball turnovers. I think if the Warriors are, you know, playing and they're in their system, they're feeling nice, but they, you know, Steph, he likes to make his behind the back passes. He likes to, you know, be fancy with it. If they continue to, we saw that even in the play-in game, that was their downfall. In that third quarter, they had so many live ball turnovers, which led to the Lakers getting into their flow of things and scoring and capitalizing off those turnovers. So number one, that would be cutting down on live ball turnovers. If you're going to turn over, Steph, throw it out of bounds. Draymond, pass it out of bounds. We're fine because we can set up the defense on the other end. Number two, one of my keys I had is push the pace. The Lakers are old. AD can't run with you. LeBron's 36. He's not going to be able to run with you. They got Melo on the floor. They got DeAndre Jordan. They got the retirement home. Like, let's be real. You gotta push the tempo on these guys. Steph likes to play in the transition. Jordan Poole loves to attack the rim. Draymond Green is one of the best to do it in the league, in the open floor, finding these guys, creating these opportunities. And then Kevon Looney, just get those spot minutes and try to keep up the pace, set those screens, and continue just to push the pace. That's the key. It's going to lead to a lot of opportunities if they can get stops. And then number three is kind of a funny one, is force Russell Westbrook to beat you. If he goes off for 30 and you're holding AD down, forcing him to live on the perimeter, take his mid-range shots where he settles, and don't let AD get that confidence. The Warriors let him get inside and dominate the game, like Patrick spoke on earlier, the Warriors they're going to be tough to beat. And then you obviously live with – LeBron's going to do what he does. At the end of the day, you try to slow him down with Wiggins, who did an okay job of that again in the play-in game as well. So those are my three keys that I'm highlighting. Patrick, I don't know if you got any more to add.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of those. I think for me, just off the top of my head, I think what I saw from the Warriors in the preseason was their passing was really, really crisp. They had some good team chemistry. And so along those lines, like keeping the ball moving, you know, keeping pushing the pace, like you said, and also just like limiting turnovers. Like that's simply it, right? Like Steve Kerr, turnovers kill him. And we all know that, like, that's usually who wins the game is who wins the turnover battle. So I think that, and they've been relying a lot on threes in the preseason. So if they got to hit them, you know what I mean? At this point, they got to hit them and see if that'll be enough. I think with the Lakers, I definitely think you should make Russ beat you, right? Like I said earlier, if AD goes for 30, 35, then the Lakers actually have a chance of a better chance of winning. I still think the Warriors are going to win, but if Russ is out there and if he gets 30, you know, he's getting it on 35 shots. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. And that's great. And then all of a sudden that's when the meltdown starts right now. That's when they start trading everybody. Right. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. What's up, Jay? Go ahead.
Yeah. And one more thing to add to Patrick's point, on the threes, I noticed a lot when they played the Lakers the second time, well, just throughout the preseason, it seemed like Steve Kerr had a strong emphasis on back cuts. I don't know, every single one, if the defense overplayed, they're looking specifically for the back cut. And we saw, you know, Jordan Poole with that fancy reverse finish against LeBron that everyone's talking about. But that was one specific example. A lot of times they were emphasizing getting those easy buckets on that back cut if they're overplaying, because they know defensively they're looking for you to take threes. So just get to the rim, get easy buckets.
That's that great coach of Steve Kerr, man. Steve Kerr is a great coach for real, man. But all right. So, I had to get the opinion from the two Warriors professionals, you know, but from what I think, man, like, and I know this is going to sound like cheesy or whatever, but I genuinely think that for the Warriors to be able to, you know, really win and have a great game, Curry has to have a great offensive game, right? Patrick, earlier you were talking about Curry is really the only like offensive player that's got it like that. You know, we talked about Andrew Wiggins. You know, you mentioned that you saw him try to be that guy and you were just like, man, what is this? You know? So I definitely think that Curry can have one of those games where, you know, it's just a mediocre. I think he has to have a great offensive game, man, because I mean, He's gonna get honed down on. He's the only guy, to be real. I like Jordan Poole. I like Jordan Poole a lot, but I just don't know if Jordan Poole is gonna be able to do it enough. You know what I'm talking about? I don't, like, if Curry has a bad game, I don't know if Jordan Poole can carry the load. That's what I'm saying. You feel what I'm saying? So I think that is crucial. What's up, Pat?
No, how many points do you think Steph needs to get?
I think as long as Steph gets like 25 and up. I think if he is 25 and up, they're in a great position. I think that they're in a great position because he carries so much of that scoring load. So if he's missing, right, like earlier you talked about, Patrick, like they're shooting, they're relying a lot on the threes. If he's missing, then, I mean, not just Curry, that's anybody. But, I mean, I just think that he needs to carry a lot of the offensive load, man. But yeah, all right. So then let's keep it pushing, man, and let's talk about some of the key players. Jay, you want to, of course we know Curry, but who are some of your key players that you got coming into this game for the Warriors?
I'd look to, you know, like I said earlier, it's Jordan Poole time. For him to just put the league on notice, put the world on notice, whatever you want to call it, I think it's time for Deshaun specifically. And to go on your point of saying Steph has to go off, you know, one of the things I love about Steph, and Patrick can probably attest to this too, in the beginning of the games, it's like he's feeling out the game. He's feeling it, and he's trying to get his other teammates involved and get them going, because he always knows. I mean, he's the human torch. He knows he can get going at any time. And we saw that against Portland, his 41-point outburst, albeit in a preseason game. But he knows that he can get going at any time. And when he gets others involved, including Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, who I hope he simplifies the game, keeps it simple, you know, takes his 1-2 dribbles, gets to the rim. But if they can keep it simple and get, you know, obviously Steph's going to do what he does. Poole gets it going early and starts feeling the game. And then if Draymond takes 8 shots, all I need is 8 shots from Draymond. We know what he's going to do from a facilitating standpoint. But if he can take 8 shots and make maybe 2 or 3 of those, you know, I think the Warriors are in a good position. And that's the key. The key players will be Steph, Jordan Poole, and if Draymond can facilitate defensively, we know he's going to be locked in. And if he can keep the other guys into it as well, I think that's going to be the keys for the Warriors offensively tomorrow night.
Okay. What's up, Pat? Who do you think are some of the key players here for the Warriors tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll pick one. I'll go with Andrew Wiggins. And because, like, I feel like Steph will get his. I feel like Poole will hopefully get his. Hopefully he doesn't, like, you know, go for, like, 1 for 20. But I feel like they'll get theirs, and I think they need that third guy to give them at least 15, 17, 18 points. And that needs to be Wiggins. And also because of his defensive presence, you know, like, he's not going to stop LeBron, obviously, but, like, he'll slow him down hopefully a little bit. And also, like, he is their most, right now, their most athletic perimeter defender. He's not going to take, you know, Russ, although he might. Nah, that's going to be Poole. But, like, he needs to be in the game, and he needs to be able to be a net positive for them. Because I agree, like, the other dudes are super important. But, like, if you go with, like, the percentages, okay, they'll probably give you what – you're asking, right? Like, Draymond will play hard. He may not take 8 shots, though. And Steph will get his, same with Poole. But will Wiggins contribute the way that he needs to? Because he actually has, with Poole's presence, like, a lesser role, right? Like, he's no longer the second scoring guy. He's the third. And when Klay comes back, he might, you know, if they run a lineup with all those dudes, he'll be the fourth. And so if he's there, if he's engaged and he's giving you energy and he's not, like, you know, shooting a terrible percentage, then, or getting mad about being vaxxed, you know, I think that's pretty important.
Okay. All right. For sure. And as far as for me, man, I think the key player is, of course, you know, Anthony Davis, man. I know we've talked about so much throughout this pod and how he is such a, he determines what happens on that team. You know, when he is the defensive anchor, that team is great on defense. We saw when he was on his defensive bag, the Lakers were the number one defensive team. And then also, every single time down court, he's got a mismatch on Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney cannot guard him, so he needs to absolutely abuse that. You know, we talked a little bit about the Lakers need to take advantage of that front court. AD controls all of that. If AD doesn't take advantage of Kevon Looney, I don't think that the Lakers are going to be as offensively threatening as they should be. On defense, I know that for a fact, man. If AD doesn't get it going on defense, it just simply will not go, man. But I just wanted to talk about Jordan Poole real quick, man, because guys, I gotta tell you guys this, guys. So as Warriors fans, I know you guys are intensely watching like all Jordan Poole and all the other rookies. So you guys are up on game. But let me tell you something. For other fan bases, nobody else knows about him yet. Like that. Nobody knows that he's like that. Because he's like that, right? And I'll tell you why. Like me, I didn't know he was like that until Jay Hill was like, man, you gotta look on Jordan Poole. You gotta look Jordan Poole. And I'm realizing he is really a boy. So I gotta put that out there, man, because I think that he's gonna grow into one of those players in the league that's just a bucket getter, you know, one of those Spencer Dinwiddie type players who could just kind of get a bucket from anywhere on the court, man. So I just had to put that out there because I don't think the rest of the league is on watch, is on alert, like how Warriors fans really are on alert, man. But what about some sleeper players? You know, what are some sleeper players that you're like, okay, like he might have a big game. Jay Hill, you got yours ready already for the Warriors?
I do.
Okay, what's your sleeper?
Damian Lee. Ooh. I feel like he is playing at a great level. About 2 years ago when they first brought him in, I said, oh, okay, this is clearly, it's Steph's brother-in-law. That's why they brought him in. This guy, he had no idea. It seemed like he was lost on the floor, had no idea where to be, had no continuity with the offense. But now when he comes on the floor, it's just like a guy who's locked in, defensively scrappy. I feel like this season he's going to be a 40% plus shooter, and I mean, if he can be that, I think that's going to be do numbers for their second unit. And he's just that spark plug, that X factor off the bench. He knows what he's going to do. You know what you're going to get him from. If you're Steve Kerr, you have the utmost confidence of him if you're his teammate. He's just playing at such a high level, continuing what he did last season into the preseason. I think he's going to continue that tomorrow night and into this next upcoming regular season. So Damian Lee for me.
Okay. What about you, Pat?
I will go with Otto Porter Jr. I kind of want to go with both him and Bielitsa because they seem to serve like a very similar purpose in the preseason. First of all, like kind of stiff. and you're like hoping that they don't get injured. Like Porter Jr. was diving for loose balls, and I was like, "Why, man? Why don't do that? You're already on the team, you know." And if either of them, because during the preseason, each of them were like at least hitting three threes a game, and if you get that out of those dudes, 3 to 5, 3 to 6 threes, I mean that's a lot. But if you just get like maybe 10 to 15 points from each of those guys, then, I mean, dude, who would have done that last year? You know what I mean? Like, that's 10, 20 points that Steph doesn't have to get, you know? And that, like, it gives them a little bit more cushion on the defensive end to, like, okay, they scored. That doesn't mean that we're, you know, strapped for offense. So, you know, I put on those dudes to hopefully show out on a national stage and prove that like they can still play.
Man, Pat, when you said be elites, I was like, hell yeah, because that's my guy. I'm excited for him on the Warriors, man, because I think he's just gonna really plug and play on the Warriors. Like he shoots, he's a big, he's gonna be great, man. So I'm definitely excited about him. That was my sleeper pick. But for my sleeper pick for the Lakers, you know, I got to go with Stay Mello, man. That's a seasoned vet. I know he's older, but Mello knows what he's doing out there, man. We saw in Portland, they called him washed. He came on and provided tremendous help for the for Portland, man. So I think that Mello will have a good sleeper game. But all right. So then as we start to wrap it up here, one question that I want to ask you, Pat, is, what are some signs of concern that you have coming in to this game as a Warriors fan?
Well, in this game, I think just interior defense and rebounding in general, you know, like for the Lakers, I am not so concerned with the Warriors not having like that point of attack defender in the backcourt so much, but just in terms of like guarding and playing Anthony Davis and just, you know, getting beat on the boards and everything like that. I mean, that's my biggest concern, because the thing about the Lakers, right, like we joke, they're geriatric, they're old vets and whatever, but hey, you know, like that's my kind of X factor, in the sense that, okay, they didn't look great in the preseason. We can just, you know, toss that aside, but when they need to, can they just kind of put it together and, you know, make a run at the end of the game, of close game, because they have that talent, they have that ability. And, you know, like, I think on the defensive end, especially because they got those dudes up front, you know, if they throw in like those future Hall of Famer, I mean, like if they throw in Melo, Braun, AD and Dwight Howard, I mean, I don't know if that's ever going to be a lineup that they trot out there, but like, I forgot about Dwight Howard. I'm not a Dwight Howard fan, but he definitely is a bruiser, and he likes that. Pretty sure that dude, like, he's a bully, man, and he likes bullying people, you know.
Yeah, Bielitsa and him got into it on the last time they played.
But yeah, Bielitsa don't back down.
Nah, he don't. That's what I love about him. He's a dog.
All right, for sure. Then, Jay, what about you? Are you just siding with Patrick? Do you have any other concerns about the Warriors?
Yeah. I mean, turnovers, like I mentioned earlier, and then I'm not really too concerned offensively. I know they're going to score. I know they're going to get out there. They're going to run. They're going to put some points on the board because they have the offense and the personnel, in my opinion, to do so. But defensively is where I'm worried. Can they get stops? If it's a close game, are they going to be able to get that stops? Are down low, interior, defensively, that's a worry. And if they get the stop, are they going to be able to end it with a rebound? Or are they going to give up second chance points? So that's my primary concern going into tomorrow night.
Okay. So, and for me, man, for the Lakers, you guys been saying it all episode, letting the Warriors Russ try to win, man. Like, that's my biggest concern, genuinely, that Russell Westbrook thinks he's going to go out there. He's going to be Russell Westbrook from Thunder, from Rockets, from all these teams, from the Wizards. It's just not like that, Russell Westbrook. And I really want him to understand this coming into the game, because I don't want the whole ISO ball thing, man. I really, really, really don't want the ISO ball.
I do. Give me the ISO ball, man. Come on, Russ.
We'd love to see it.
The world is watching. You're on national stage, man.
Exactly.
Go for 50.
All right, man. All right. So then this is a good place for us to go ahead and wrap it up here. Pat, before I get you out of here, Pat, I got to ask you a question. So me and Jay Hill, we talk basketball really all day, right? And Jay Hill, he's not a believer in my guy Wiseman. I'm a huge believer in my guy Wiseman. I'm a huge believer. Pat, what are you? Are you believing in him? Is he the next big thing?
Ooh, I mean, I think there's a difference between being the next big thing and being a believer. I'm a huge believer in him. I believe in his flashes and his skills, what he's shown. We all know that he was thrown into an awful, awful situation at beginning of last season. And it was one of those things where, you know, he looked good in that shortened training camp after he got back from COVID isolation or quarantining. But then, like, it was like when the season started, the Warriors looked awful. They got blown out twice, right? And they had some new guys, so everyone was discombobulated. But then once the vets started kind of getting their legs under them and understanding how things were supposed to go with his team, that's where Wiseman didn't have that experience. And he just, you know, it was all over the place. But, you know, I still believe in the dude a lot. Just recently, like, I've come around and be like, oh, yeah, I would trade him for so-and-so. But to me, like, as long as he comes back from that meniscus, and meniscus injuries usually aren't bad. I don't know why Jaren Jackson Jr. was out for so long. But as long as he comes back from that with his athleticism and speed, I'll give him a fair shake to prove what he can do. And plus, I honestly think, like, if the Warriors can keep shooting this way, I mean, that opens up a lot for him. You give him 10, 15 minutes, and then you put him in with Jordan Poole, then, you know, like, let's put him in the best position to see if he can succeed. And if he fails at that point, then you'll actually know something. So now they've given him that, right? So I believe in him right now.
Man, that's my guy. Jay, what's up? Go ahead, Jay.
And let me go on record and saying, you had said you felt he was the next AD. And I said, I was hold the horses on that. I'm not ready to say that. But do I believe in him? Absolutely. I think he showed flashes, like Patrick said, last year. And I feel like he didn't really get his fair shake, if you want to call that, last season. I think Kerr really didn't give him the opportunities to see, you know, that get those experiential minutes that you need as a rookie, that confidence. And then he when he did see it towards the pre-injury, then he got injured, obviously. And then we weren't able to see what would have been in his rookie campaign. So I'm excited to see him back on the floor. I believe in him. He needs to get his fair shake and his opportunity to kind of succeed with a new look, new threats, offense and opportunities with this new look Warriors team. So,
yeah. Okay.
No, I believe in him. I'm a Wiseman believer. Put that on record.
All right, man. All right. Well, I had to get your opinion on that, Pat. You know, very well respected Warriors fan. So yeah, man. So Pat, man, we just want to thank you, man. We just want to thank you again for coming on here, talking some Warriors Lakers talk with us. We really, really appreciate it, man. Jay, do you got any last words for Pat and all the Warriors fans all over the world?
No, Patrick, really appreciate it. I've always been listening to your Oakland Warriors podcast, so I appreciate you coming on the show. Big fan of the show. And, check out Altala fans. Check out his Oakland Warriors podcast. Very good content. Short episodes, too, like 10, 15 usually minutes. The last one you put out was a little longer, though. The one you put out today was pretty long.
Yeah.
The season preview, yeah. So, but check them out. Great content. And Patrick, if you want to say anything to the fans, man.
Yeah. No, this was fun. I mean, thanks for having me on. And yeah, definitely check out my podcast. I started doing it again last year because I was like, man, in isolation, I need to talk to somebody about basketball. And so I just talked to nobody into a microphone. And so I just started doing game recaps. And so they're like these digestible 10, 15 minute episodes. And then every week I try to do like a longer one. It's like half hour, hour, something like that with another basketball Warriors fan, friend of mine or something. So, or another guest in general. So, you know, just, yeah. Thanks a lot for having me on the show, fellas. And, you know, appreciate you.
Yes, sir, man. For all the fans, make sure you guys check out all of Pat's work. It's all going to be in the description down below. And that's it, man. We out of here, y'all. Clutch Talk out.
And how'd you like that? That was another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick Epino, E-P-I-N-O, or at Oakland Warriors. Check us out, OaklandWarriors.com, and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society and is a part of the Basketball Podcast Network. That's it.